morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Glenshaw Valley. Oh. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. The first announcement is if you have an announcement that you would like to go in the valley, the May Valley, Lynn Garvey is going to need it, I think, by Tuesday. So please plan to email them to her by then. Next Sunday, May 2nd, we will be celebrating communion together, so please plan on attending. And is there a Women's Association meeting next week? I remembered. There is a Women's Association meeting at 10 o'clock next Sunday, May 2nd. So if you are a woman member of our church, you are welcome to attend. Are there any other announcements to share? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 187, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. friends, please join with me in our prayer of confession. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let's wave to one another. Good morning. Good morning.
Please pray with me. Living God, who breathes life into all things, it is in you we live and have our being. After a long Lenten season, we thank you for life all around us. Let spring be a witness to resurrection, not as occasional, but as the way you have ordered our lives and the world. We pray for the church in every place. Gather us together and make us one, one in ministry and mission to the world, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd. Guide the people of this and all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good by helping the poor and defending the vulnerable. Even in the midst of celebrating resurrection, we pray for those whose celebration is clouded by their circumstances. We pray for the 82 people killed and 233 injured in the 58 mass shooting incidents over this past month alone. We ask for your comfort, healing, and protection for all of those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. We especially lift up prayers for Sue's granddaughter, Maddie. We ask that you help her make good choices. We pray for the Sagi family as they take care of their mother's estate. We pray that you give them all courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Loving God, your brightness burns as we rejoice in answers to our prayers. We give thanks for more chances to spend time with family and friends as we celebrate more access to vaccines. We also lift up Kathy's son, Jonathan, who passed his permit test, and we ask that you spread your wings of protection over him. We give thanks for vacations. Gracious God, by the power of your Spirit, help us to keep your commandments and to love one another with the love of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise and join me in the hymn of meditation, number 803, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need.
Friends, please be seated. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture today is Psalm 23. It goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love a good story. Books, movies, TV shows, essays. It doesn't really matter to me how a story is told. I just really enjoy listening to a good story. I think I like stories because they help me make sense of my own story, my own life. Stories also help me make sense of things that I haven't personally experienced. In the church, we have a fancy word we use for storytelling. We call storytelling testimony. To testify is to share with someone else what God is doing in our lives and also in the world around us. Our psalm for this morning, Psalm 23, is a testimony of what one individual pilgrim has seen and has experienced in her life. This morning, I want to reflect with you a little bit on the role of testimony in Christian community. Testimony is how we share with other people the hope we have in Jesus. thought I would do something a little bit different this morning. Instead of telling you about testimony, I would share with you a little bit of my testimony. And in order to do that, I'm going to use the language of Psalm 23, language that I'm sure we are all very familiar with, to kind of teach us how we can use this psalm to share our testimony with others. Like the psalmist, I'm not going to share my entire testimony with you this morning, but I'm going to share one particular story about a time when I experienced God's presence when I was walking along a deep valley. Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This week, I was doing a little bit of reflecting on the previous year in our lives. One of my colleagues is doing is writing a paper about how the pandemic has affected life in the church. And one of the questions she asked us is, what was the hardest part of the pandemic for you? For me, the hardest part of the pandemic was when my gym was shut down for 3 months last spring. I missed not being able to see my friends. I missed having something to do outside of the house. I missed having 1 hour a day when I could think about something other than COVID. When the governor closed gyms in Pennsylvania, I went through an "I'm very angry at God right now" phase. Most of you know, but I live alone. And let me tell you that living alone is not awful when a pandemic is not happening, but living alone during a pandemic is just the worst, particularly when it's not safe for you to leave your house. Looking back, it was probably good that I was living alone last spring because I was just not fun to be around during those early months in the pandemic. The psalmist continues, "Yeah, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." A turning point for me in the pandemic happened on a Saturday morning in April of 2020 when I fractured my foot. Now, it was completely my fault. I should not have been doing box step-ups on living room furniture in my apartment, as my mother likes to continue to remind me of. But when I went to the doctor to get my foot x-rayed, I found that my fracture was so bad, I wasn't going to be able to drive for 2 weeks because, of course, I fractured my right foot. When I called my mother to tell her this, she insisted that she come and pick me up and that I stay with her until my foot healed. So here I was, this 30-year-old woman with a fractured foot, about to move back in with my mother for the foreseeable future during a pandemic. The psalmist goes on, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Honestly, I think staying with my mother for a couple of weeks is what kept me from going completely insane during this pandemic. It was nice to have someone else to talk to, someone who, as a nurse, did not spend her entire day reading scary articles on the internet, someone to cook for, someone to go on walks with after dinner. Also, the time that I was at my mother's was when we were making all of those really big and hard and complicated decisions about how we were going to resume worship and what that was going to look like. And my mom actually gave me a lot of really good wisdom during that time about how to balance public safety with people's desire to be back in church and worshiping. The psalm ends, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, we can't always see it when we're in the middle of it. But when we look back over the course of our lives, we can clearly see God at work during difficult seasons. To this day, my mother swears it was God that caused me to lose my balance and fracture my foot so that I didn't become agoraphobic, and so that I might have maybe a little bit more compassion as people made different choices than I did, as we all figured out how we were going to live amidst a pandemic. One of the things that I've always appreciated about this psalm is that it's assurance that life is not about reaching some destination, but it is more about the journey. A journey where we're going to pass through both quiet waters and deep valleys. You'll notice in the psalm, God never promises us that we will only walk alongside quiet waters. But God also does not promise that we will only walk along deep valleys. Friends, if you haven't guessed by now, this Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. It is a Sunday where we read through the different passages that explain to us how God in Jesus is our shepherd. And I chose specifically Psalm 23 to read this morning because I think it does a good job of showing us that God promises to be with us in the way that a good shepherd tends his sheep, patiently shepherding them from one location to another, making sure that there is time for rest and provisions, and maybe, perhaps most importantly, making sure that they don't wander off and fall off a cliff or get eaten by wolves. And while I think all of our journeys look a little bit different, I think God's assurance of being with us on those journeys remains the same. I think one of the reasons that everyone loves Psalm 23 is because no matter what part of the psalm you're reading, you can identify a part of your story in the psalmist's narration of his. Everyone has moments or experiences they can point to that shaped the person they became today. The moment when you knew what you were going to do when you grew up. The moment when you knew you were going to marry your spouse. Or the moment when you realized, oh, this maybe isn't what I want to do for the rest of my life, but I'm not really sure what I want to do instead. Just as we have moments in our personal lives that shaped the people we are today, we all have moments in our life of faith that shape and help us identify what kind of Christians we've become. For example, the moment when we decided to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The moment where we decided, hey, I actually want to go to church, not just because my mother is threatening me if I don't attend. These moments shape the type of Christians we are, but they also shape the types of communities of faith we participate in. And I found the best way to get to know someone and to get to know how they operate within a community of faith is to ask them to share a little bit about their story. Friends, as we enter this fourth week of Easter, I want to encourage all of us to find someone to share a part of our testimonies with. When we share our testimonies with each other, we live as Easter people. We live as people who are hopeful and confident that our stories are interwoven in the story of Jesus. As people who wait with eager longing for the promised kingdom of God. Friends, testimony doesn't have to be this formal thing. It doesn't have to be something that you wrote out and rehearsed ahead of time. I've heard some super powerful testimonies in line at the grocery store or when I'm stuck in an elevator with someone. I also accidentally got sucked into a testimony when I was sitting next to somebody on a plane for 6 hours. Don't be that person, but you kind of get where I'm going with this. My hope is that testimony will be one way that all of us, like the psalmist, bear witness to our hope as we journey with Jesus throughout the course of our lives. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, His Name is Wonderful. Let me send us off with a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.